welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at Life Point in Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series, Daybreak, where we're talking about how the resurrection is reflected every day. The last week of Jesus' life was obviously the week where he comes into Jerusalem, he clears out the temple, and then eventually leads to his crucifixion and the resurrection. But there was a conversation that he had after clearing out the temple with the chief priests and the leaders of Israel, and he tells this parable. Here's what it says, and this is in Matthew 21, verse 33. It says, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants. He went into another country, and when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit, and the tenants took his servant and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out into a vineyard and killed him. And when therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" And they answered him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." You know, that passage, what it highlights is that this is the first parable that everyone agreed on. This was not an issue of, man, what is he talking about? The parable he's telling in front of these chief priests and Pharisees, basically that there's this landowner and he hires, he buys the land, he builds a fence around it, gets a tower so it's protected, and he offers it to people who want to come in and make an agreement with him to become a tenant on his land. The tenants then work a deal and they're supposed to grow fruit on their part of the land, like all the other tenants. And then at time of the season, whenever their fruits are there, they are going to give a portion of the proceeds or the fruit themselves to the owner as part of the agreement. Well, when that time comes, they don't want to give over their portion. So the master who's away, or the landowner who's away, sends back a servant. They beat him, sends another servant to collect, and they kill him. And finally, after sending servant after servant after servant, he decides to send his own son. And these tenants are thinking, you know what? We're the ones doing all the work here. If we kill the son, then basically it's his inheritance, so we'll own it. And they kill the son. And when Jesus says, well, what should the landowner do? The Pharisees and the chief priests were the ones saying, well, they will certainly put the wicked tenants into prison. Why would they say that? Because this is outrageous behavior. This is absolutely ridiculous behavior on the part of the tenants, that they've already made an agreement with the landowner, but yet, you know, they're going back on their agreement and they're taking advantage of the owner, and the owner is showing just incredible grace by giving them chance after chance after chance after chance, even sending his own son. And at this point, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they have no idea that the reality is he's talking about them. The landowner is God. If you read Isaiah 5, it's almost word for word what he's telling in the parable, that God is the one who took Israel, you know, and made it his own vineyard. And he gave it over to tenants. These are the leaders of the people of Israel. And they're supposed to produce a spiritual fruit by leading the people to follow the commands of God. But these tenants have rebelled against God. And the servants that he sent are obviously the prophets that God has sent to the people. And if you look at Israel's history, God sent prophet after prophet who tried to call those people back to repentance. And in many cases, the people of Israel stoned or killed or beat or imprisoned the prophets. And just recently, they had just killed John the Baptist. They rejected him, and it was Herod that put him to death. The son is obvious, that's Jesus. Later on, as in this passage, as Jesus starts communicating, they realize, it dawns on them, wow, you're talking about us. I think the interesting part of the story is that it's really easy to look at the Pharisees and say, look at what you've done. You have turned your back against God. But it all starts with the prideful position that we all feel inside and that we want ownership over our lives. Later on in that passage, Jesus says that he is going to hand over the kingdom of God to new tenants. That's us. That when we come to Christ, we are become a tenant. We don't own our lives anymore. We submit our life to Christ. He becomes the owner, and then we become tenants of the kingdom of God. That is the beauty of the gospel, that we get the opportunity to do that. The problem is that we still have that same heart in us that's in the heart of the chief priests and the Pharisees, that we want ownership rights. And never does that come into play more than when something like coronavirus happens, where we're looking at God and saying, why does it have to be like this? Why are people getting sick? Why do I have to lose my job? Why do I have to be locked in here? Why can't I be in control? But God actually wants us to be tenants of His, to follow Him no matter the circumstance. Allow His fruit to be produced in our life regardless of the situation. And that's a difficult thing to do. And yet, in humility, we come to God and offer our lives to Him. Father, I pray that that You would give us all that heart of humility to submit our lives completely to You. Lord, have Your way with us. Do Your work in us. Produce the fruit in us that only You can produce. God, we pray that the kingdom would advance. God, give us the humility to submit so that we would allow You to do what only You can do in us. God, use our lives for Your benefit and for the kingdom. We ask that in Your Son's name. Amen. Just take a second wherever you're at and just if pride and needing for control over your life is something that you struggle with, just offer your life up to the Lord. Just take a second and do that. Well, thanks so much for being part of the Drivecast today. Hope that was an encouragement to you, and I pray that you're all safe and well. Take care.